The Jerry Doyle Show.
Well, I was thinking maybe Jose was going to play Peaches and Herbs Reunited, and it feels so good. Because it's been just way too long since I've had a chance to talk to our guest, author, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor, Anita Finley. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, 4 months, folks, number one position, Amazon's Women in Politics list. Anita, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jerry. I have to hold myself back with a will of iron not to bust out laughing when you do one of these hilarious intros on me. But thank you for the warm welcome. Great to be back.
Yeah, you know, you remember that song, Reunited and It Feels So Good?
Of course I do. That's why I almost started laughing.
People are going to go, oh, we're dating ourselves, which is a little narcissistic, but what the hell, we're going to go with it.
Isn't that terrible? Who cares? Did you enjoy your vacation?
I got to tell you. I forgot to mention, Anita's a world-class traveler, too.
World-class. I don't know about a world-class traveler, but we'll take
world-class
it.
And well-traveled. I had not been away in so long that I forgot how to relax.
Wow.
And when I got back, it was just like, you know, I extended my vacation an extra couple of days. Because you know how, like, you go, I'm not really ready to go. And then you go an extra couple of days and you go, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. It was like just the perfect amount of time. And, you know, got back in the saddle. And you just look at things differently. Like, when I came back, one of the things I was comparing was airline travel and Congress. What do they both have in common? They both suck. And
thank you.
We bitch and complain about airline travel, but we still travel. We bitch and complain about Congress, but we still vote the same people in. The message the airlines and Congress gets is that they must be doing a good job.
But you and I have talked about that before. I told you your silence equals yes. And so when you don't complain, they assume, oh, we're fine. So that just gives people a message to get out there and complain, whether they, you know, pound on the desk when they get to the airline place, you know, when they're checking in, or call your congressman and say, you know what, you ain't doing it right, and I don't like
it. I mean, I've got this lengthy, detailed letter that I'm sending off to U.S. Airways. And another thing I started thinking about, Anita, is when you look at the mergers, like American and U.S. Airways, American on its own was good, U.S. Airways on its own was good, but in the merger now, everything is screwy. I mean, Amber and I, 8 flights, 6 of them delayed, and not just by 5 minutes, some of them 6 hours. 7 out of 8 times, the jetway wasn't lined up with the level of the door. And I mean, I look at those little things, and you could tell the frustration of the flight crew and the cabin crew. And it was just like mergers. And then you get, look at Rupert Murdoch wants to buy Time Warner. And then you look at Microsoft buying Nokia and laying off 18,000 people. And you go, who are mergers good for? I mean, do they really go, you know, we're going to merge so that Anita Finley has a better fill-in-the-blank, you know? We're going to merge so that Jerry Doyle has a better fill-in-the-blank. It's not about that. And I was thinking when I was doing M&A on Wall Street, I don't think we ever thought about how this is going to benefit the customer. But how is this benefit the banker gangsters? We know that. How does it benefit senior management? We know that. How does it benefit shareholders? We know that. But in reality, when I look at all these roll-ups, what are we getting? You know, what comes our way? Not much.
Well, of course not. And the thing is that if people had any shame, they wouldn't be doing it in the first place. So the only way you can make that stop is to shame them. And the only way to do that is to just, you know, blow the cobwebs off and show what's going on in people's pocketbooks. You know, the people who are taking the wealth away and the ones who don't have it. So when you see that, then it starts to become more clear. And when you shame them back to the table, that's really the only way. That's really the only way it's going to work. But again, that requires a lot more civic involvement than we have. And it's tough because people are struggling to keep the roof over their heads. But, you know, unfortunately, that's the situation we're in. If we don't do that and don't make enough noise, then it just, you know, becomes business as usual. It's the same thing when Mr. Schweitzer came out with this book about congressional insider trading, and the stink was so bad it was even broadcast on 60 Minutes. And then there was legislation passed because of the huge outcry across the nation to cut back on all of that. And then a year later, Congress went back and quietly gutted the legislation.
And
because nobody was looking. You know,
exactly.
And then they don't report it.
And it's about ever being vigilant. And you really can never turn your backs on these people because they will turn the tide on you. Because something else will be in the news. I guarantee you today something's happening, Anita, that's either it's kind of quietly being talked about or being done, but they've got the cover right now of Israel and Hamas in Gaza. They've got the cover of MH17, and they don't look at those as tragedies. They look at those as opportunities to kind of try and slip something by people.
Yeah, and also to sell copy in the meantime. But I think, you know, I just thought of something that's an exciting way of looking at all of this. You know, I thought of the people of the frontier years ago who came across in the wagon train and all the horrors and the difficulties and hardships that they faced, you know, hundreds of years ago. So let's look at it now with social media, that this is the new frontier and that we are being asked to, you know, be in our own wagon, as it were, and to really be independent and to speak out about all of this and to get more involved and to take matters into our own hands in a civil disobedience kind of a way and to speak up. But if we look at it that way, then we can add a little adventure to it and not make it seem like, oh, I don't want to get involved. You know, maybe it's exciting because then you can see, you know, you'll see, oh, I can actually have an effect if I make noise about this. And you know what? That kind of stuff does work on occasion. So I think it's worth it to try.
I was looking at this article. We'll get to yours in just a second, but this article, it's titled "You Pay Taxes and Rich Corporations Don't," and it's a slam on big business. I get that, but the laws are the laws, and they do allow companies to offshore their earnings and their profits and all that kind of stuff. Congress created the laws and whatever, but Starbucks in Britain saw a 29% drop in the company reputation score from a +3 to a -26 after a Reuters report showed the chain paid no tax on £1.2 billion in sales and claimed to have made absolutely no profit in Britain after 14 years of operations. Now, the millennials started to look at this and go, what? No, we're not really.
I can't believe you just said that. That's great.
And even though the laws are the laws, and corporations beholden to shareholders, I get all that. But people are just going, it may be the law, but we don't like it. And what we're going to do is we're going to vote with our feet and we're going to vote with our seat. And they had a precipitous drop in sales in Starbucks in Britain because people were like, shame on you, and I'm not going to buy your coffee because of the way you use these accounting gimmicks and sleights of hands to not pay any taxes for the general good.
You know, it's just, you and I always read each other's minds. As soon as you mentioned this article, which I had not read, I knew instinctively. I said, "Up, oh, millennials," because they do this. They shop around. It is an entirely different world now, and they're looking for the best bargain. And they, you know, they came of age in the world of 9/11, and they're looking. The ground was always slipping under their feet, and they're looking at a very different way of living. They're living by a different calculus. They have so many different choices in front of them. If I don't have Starbucks, I have Pete's and I have Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, and I don't need your product. I can go someplace else. And it's like schools of fish. If you don't treat me right, I'm gone. So I do think, you know, that goes back to what I was saying about, you know, this kind of a frontier that people, you know, the corporate America really has to learn to adapt, because it is very possible that they will be on the outs with the very people they want to sell to. So it's not going to be so easy to pull the wool over people's eyes, because we are in an information age.
And you know what you also do is people are changing the message. You know, it's like, we want a balanced budget amendment. What does that mean? You know, how does that fit? But there's this group called U.S. Uncut, and they were talking about Apple's fair share of U.S. tax offshore profits for the year 2011. So Apple, big, $54 billion. But then they said, here's what it means. If they had paid their fair share of what they consider to be fair share of taxes, it would have been salaries for 90,000 teachers. If Boots didn't shelter their UK taxation, they could have funded salaries for 85,000 nurses at the National Health Service. That's when people started to get a connection to what these ginormous numbers are about that most people just glaze over, because $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities, what does that mean? And that's all people say is $100 trillion of unfunded liabilities. I'm guilty of it too. But what does that mean? What does it equate to? What are we not doing that we could do if we didn't have that kind of debt? That's kind of the new frontier that you talk about.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your piece. Are there signs we are ready to embrace female leadership? I didn't see this Casey 5 foot 100 pound phenom on American Ninja Warrior, but apparently over 6 million people have.
Well, you know, I link up to it in my piece, and you can watch the video if you haven't. And what she accomplishes is nothing short of earth-shattering. And what it's, you know, she's just doing these difficult feats. Let's put it this way. There are 15 people going to the final in Las Vegas, and she obviously is the only woman who made it. Only 6 other men completed the course. The other 8 guys are going behind her. They're going to the very final. They didn't even finish. They fell in the water.
Right.
So if you've not watched this, you absolutely must. You're in for everybody. You're in for an absolute treat. She's flying through the air, you know. And do you ever watch the show Arrow? No, have you not seen this?
I don't think so.
To describe it physically, but there's a thing where, you know, you're holding on to a vertical bar, and then you're doing pull-ups and then leaping onto the higher rung by using the bar itself to push the thing up. She's doing this. I can't even describe the stuff this woman is doing. She does a spider climb up a vertical wall with her arms and legs akimbo. She's flying from one vertical pole to another. They're longer than she is. She has to leap. The other guys can just reach for them. She can't even do that. If you had any idea how many men were not even able to complete this course, you really owe it to yourself. And the reason I wrote this article was because it's a bit of pop culture, you know, but it was kind of neat not only watching the women cheering her on, but how many men were cheering her on, and they were watching her slack-jawed. They couldn't believe what this tiny woman was able to do.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I thought it was a great metaphor that if you just open your mind and understand that there are different skill sets and different ways that you can accomplish a mission, maybe you'll be willing to trust and, you know, lose that mentality of, oh, gosh darn women drivers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Have we kind of matured way past the Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King battle of the sexes on the tennis court?
Well, we absolutely have when you watch Casey Catanzaro's performance. And I think that that's become very clear. You know, the one thing that I always write about and that we still see, however, is that even though we have a female Fed chair, even though Christine Lagarde is head of the International Monetary Fund, even though, you know, briefly you had an executive editor of the New York Times that was female, you know, there again, once she was able to get the company out of trouble and double their revenue, she was unceremoniously fired and didn't even get to say goodbye to her staff. I mean, she was literally thrown from the building, and you know, because she had quote unquote a brusque management style. What man would ever be fired for such a thing? So
no.
I think that what we are seeing, that's the good news, Jerry, is that we are seeing it's more commonplace to see, you know, a few women leaders there, here and there. You know, we now have 20 senators. We're still outnumbered 4-1 in the Senate, but I think the people who are the trailblazers, the women who are up there, I think it's wonderful, but to some extent they're still being graded by a different metric because they haven't been part of this old boys club. But in answer to your question, yeah, I do think we've matured somewhat. I think a lot of that is marred not by the guys on the ground, by the way, but by the pundits, by the people who are in charge, because they're the ones who are most beholden to the status quo, and they're so full of themselves and full of their own opinions that whatever sort of institutional sexism or misogyny or, you know, what kind of ideas they have, they just keep on espousing all that crap. And I think that sort of built-in narrative does more to keep us in, you know, entrenched in the old ways than the way people on the ground would actually want to behave.
I got hammered. I'm running out of time here, Anita. I wish we had more time. We should have done 2 segments today, but we'll do it again next week if you're able to do it.
Early
in the week, cool. When they were talking about David Letterman's replacement and all the names were being thrown into the hat, I said, I think Tina Fey would be perfect to take over for David Letterman. And people were sending me emails like, Tina Fey, that's the one. Really? You had to point that out to me, that she's a woman? She's talented. She has her own production company. She's been very successful on TV. She's funny. She's fast. She had a great career on Saturday Night Live. And I think it would be a good something different from the crusty old, you know, David Letterman. But there was, I was just threw it out as an idea, but there's this, like, institutional, I don't know, bias in a certain way against changing from what we know to what it is we might be. And there is a certain fear, I think, that men do have of strong women. They're threatened by them. But I also think there's, well, this is the way we've always done it, so I guess we should continue to do it the same way.
I think that's true, but it, you know, it sets women up to fail if you look at it that way. And I think that's kind of inane, because unless you are willing to blow the cobwebs off and give another woman a chance and find out, oh, she could be a reliable partner to me in a business sense, and give right. someone else a chance at leadership, for example, you'll never know what you're missing. And you right. may go with the same tried and true failure over and over again, but they're still going to go with another guy. Film directors have the same problem. If one woman makes a successful movie and then one of them fails, good luck seeing her get another movie. Like Mimi Leder is a great example. Whereas guys, they can have failure after failure and they still get $100 million to direct another flop. Why is that?
I don't know. We're going to have to talk about it another time. Anita Finley, thanks for joining us on the program. Check out her article, Are There Signs We Are Ready to Embrace Female Leadership? One of the things you have in here that I had no idea is that the next Dalai Lama could be a woman?
Well, that's what the current Dalai Lama said. He's saying that women make better leaders because they have a greater ability for compassion and to juggle more things at the same time. It was kind of an incredible article
right.
in the Huffington Post. So there you go.
All right, I have to give you a sexist comment on the way out, but what about the outfit? I mean, really?
Aren't there other bad outfits that men wear? Do we really care, Jerry?
I would not want to put that smock on myself, and I certainly wouldn't want to see it on anyone, including women. Thanks, Anita. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Always a pleasure, Jerry. You too. Take care.
Mine too. Thanks. Check it out, the article by Anita Finley. Are there signs we are ready to embrace female leadership? It's up at epictimes.com. We're going to take a quick break, wrap it up when we get back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.